Today's scripture reading is Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 36 to 53. Page 749 in the church Bible. Luke 24, verse 36 to 53. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God.
And we do ask now, as we look at this scripture and some other scriptures in the Bible, that you would speak to us. Thank you that you're a speaking God, and ask that you'd help me to be clear and help each one of us to listen and to know more about you this morning. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this week, as well as all the things that we've talked about, CU stuff, church stuff, Wednesday is a very special day for Bradford. It's a positive Bradford day. Did you know that? It's the first time Bradford has had such a day, but it is positive Bradford day. And according to the flyer, which I have got one of them, it's a day to celebrate all that is great about Bradford. So Centenary Square, if you know that sort of big area at the bottom of town, is going to be filled with displays and music and dancing, all performed to say how great Bradford is. Now, as part of the celebrations, get this, they're aiming to break a Guinness World Record. Anyone know what it is? They're going to make the world's biggest bargee. Okay? Now, this is quite a feat. The current record holder for a bargee, the world record holder, is 84.26 kilograms. So that's kind of like a person size, massive bargee. But they're going to try and beat that on Wednesday. And this bargee, so if you've got a free moment, it's going to be paraded through the streets of Bradford. They're building a bargee barrow. And after cooking it at Bradford College, they're going to bring this bargee around the town. Now, you may be thinking, why? You know, well, why the giant bargee? But why is there a positive Bradford Day at all? You know, what's the problem with Bradford? You know, they've got a chip on their shoulder. Well, the organisers are quite clear as to why they're doing it. They say this. They say they're fed up of seeing Bradford unfairly criticised. And they're fed up with the bad press, the bad attitudes towards Bradford. And what they're working to do, and this day is just a part of it, is to say that there are positive aspects to Bradford. And they want to show those off. Displays, music, dancing, the giant bargee. That's why you've come to Bradford, really, isn't it? You didn't know that, but that's why. Now, to be fair, the organisers are not saying that Bradford is the most amazing place in the world. You know, we know that. But what they're saying is that it's not as bad as people are making out. And there's no doubt that there continues to be significant social problems in Bradford. You know, the government's statistics are it has one of the highest rates of social deprivation in the country. There continues to be significant issues of unemployment and crime. Do you know, my first visit to Bradford was 2 years ago, and walked into the town centre with Tom, I don't know if you remember this, and we met a community officer who was just sort of parading the streets. And stopped her and said, look, I'm thinking of coming to Bradford. What do you think? And she said, what do you want to come to Bradford for? It's not kind of what you want to hear. I said, well, why? What's the story? And she said this. It's always stuck with me. She said, look, with all that's going on with the economic crisis and all these difficult social issues, she says, most cities are trying to keep their head above water. They're just struggling to keep their head above water, to gasp breath. But she said, Bradford's head is already under. That was how a community office in Bradford views the city. Now, it's just something of the picture of Bradford. Now, I suspect that one of the spin-offs from this positive Bradford day is that people will have not just a fresh desire for people to see the Bradford as it really is, you know, to be fair about the place, but to see Bradford change for the better. Now, I reckon out of Wednesday, there will be a new energy to deal with the problems concerning crime and homelessness and prostitution and corruption and unemployment and addictions. Now, in most of us, there is a desire. We want to see change. I mean, maybe you've come to university and you think, I want to change. I'm not happy with who I am. I want to be a different person. And the city, in many ways, looks at itself and it wants to be different. But the question is this. I've got two questions for you this morning. The first question is this. How is that change going to happen? Okay. How is there going to be lasting social change in Bradford? That's the first question. Now, I have another question. Look at the passage that Brad read to us in Luke chapter 24. Let me read to you from verse 46. Can you look down at that? Jesus told them, this is what is written. This is Jesus speaking. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, Jesus is talking here about God's plan for the world, all right? And central to the plan was Jesus' death, talks about that, then his rising from the dead, and then the next bit, you can see in verse 47, is the preaching of repentance and forgiveness of sins to the world, all right? To all nations. And as you read through the New Testament, you find that that is the mission of the church. If you want to know what the mission of a Christian is and God's people in the church, it's this, to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins. But here's my second question. Why does Jesus express the mission of the church in these terms? Why does he talk about the mission in terms of preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins? Why does he talk like that? Why doesn't he talk in terms of social change? Why doesn't he talk about prostitution or addiction or homelessness? Does that mean he doesn't care about these things? Okay, two questions. The first question is this. How is lasting social change going to happen in Bradford? The second question is, why does Jesus express the mission of the church in terms of preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins? Well, the answer that the Bible gives to both of these questions, and this is really what I want us to think about this morning, is this. The church is to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins because that is the only way that there can be lasting change. You get that? The church's mission is to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins because that is the only way there is going to be lasting change in people. Now, before we move on, just in terms of where we're at, we're doing a little short series. This is a new church, Trinity Church, only our fourth Sunday here. And we're doing a little mini-series on what are some of the distinctive features of the church. You know, what's Trinity Church all about? If you were to come here, what's it all about? You can listen to the talks on the website, but just as a sort of a brief recap, just to get the shape of who we are. The first thing that we looked at was that the Trinity. And we want to be a church that is centred on the triune God. Right at the center of us is God, one God who is three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. Second distinctive is that we're a church that teaches the Bible. That central to all we do is the Bible. Whatever event you come to, we're always going to have the Bibles out. Okay? And that's because that's the way God speaks to his people. And we want to treat the Bible in a way that recognizes it's an unfolding story that centers on Jesus. A third distinctive is that we want to be a church that's committed to equipping one another. We saw last week that the Bible tells us that every Christian has been given gifts by God. And that means we need each other. And it unites us. And we want to be a people that learns to use these gifts to serve one another. But our fourth distinctive, and this is what we're looking at this morning, is to consider how as a church we are to engage with the world. Now, as you go down the stairs and you open the doors of the Midland Hotel into Bradford, what's our engagement? How are we, what's the interface, if you like? How are we going to engage as a church with this city? Now, today's more of a thematic talk. So next week, we're starting a new series on Mark's Gospel. And we're going to be going through section by section. But this week, we're going to be looking at a number of different Bible passages. So look, if there was anything in the reading that Brad did that I don't touch on, you just think I've always wanted to know about that, just come and chat to me afterwards and I can help. So here we go. As we consider how we're to engage with the world, let's look more closely then at this mission of the church. It's in verse 47. Have a look. And the message that's to be preached to the world is summarized with these twin ideas of repentance and forgiveness of sins. Let's think about these two ideas for a moment to check that we're clear on this. Now, repentance, do you know what repentance is? Repentance is the idea of turning or changing direction. And it's talking here about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the Bible says that Jesus, he is Lord over the whole world. He made it and he's its ruler. He's God's appointed king. And actually, if you read Luke's gospel, as you go through, you can see many demonstrations of his kingship. It's incredible, the stories. But he demonstrates authority to teach, authority over sickness, authority over death, authority over nature. He even has authority to forgive sins. This is a powerful king. And everybody who lives in the world is called to turn to him and recognize that he is the king. Okay, that's what repentance is about. About recognizing that Jesus is king and submitting to him. Now, can you see straight away, this message is relevant because everybody lives in God's world, and that's why everybody needs to repent. Now, a common misunderstanding about repentance is that some people think it just means feeling sorry or feeling guilty or admitting wrongdoing. But you see, I can feel sorry or I can feel guilty and still carry on doing those things. I can even admit wrongdoing, but still carry on doing those wrong things. Repentance is about a fresh commitment that it won't happen again. Do you see that? Repentance is about I am now going to live a new life with Jesus as my king. That's the first part of the message, repentance. Now, the second part of the message is the forgiveness of sins. Now, the fact that there needs to be a call to repent shows that there is something terribly wrong. The fact that there's a call to turn back, you know, presupposes that people have turned away from God. And as you go back to the beginning, it's not long after God created the world that a rebellion began. And if you know your Bibles, you know about this. The rebellion was begun by who? Adam and Eve. And since that day, the rebellion has continued. A rebellion where people have turned away from God. Now that's a serious thing. Because look, if I were to turn away from you, I could turn my back on you. And you might be pleased so you haven't got to see my face. But like, I could turn my back on you and you might think, well, that's rude. But to turn your back on King Jesus is rebellion of the highest order. It's a rejection of Jesus' rule over my life. Now, in many ways, this picture of rebellion captures the scene in Bradford. You know, Bradford is not known for its obedience to King Jesus. Did you hear about that? As you thought, where shall I go? Bradford. Oh, yeah. And they're people who take Jesus seriously. That doesn't characterise this city. Now, many people, if you go into the streets, many people would be quite open about that. People are quite happy to publicly say, I do not recognise Jesus as my king. I think he's a nobody. Others are happy to live quiet lives of disobedience towards him, paying little attention to what he said. Now, Bradford's not unusual in this way. That could be said of every city and town in the UK. It's the default position of everybody. We're all born into this rebellion. And this attitude of rebellion towards God is called sin. It's what the Bible calls sin. And the penalty of sin is death and judgment. But central to the whole story, and you see that in verse 47, have a look there, is Jesus who came to die. Okay? The big part of the story is King Jesus who came into this world to die on the cross in the place of his people to take the punishment that they deserve so they can have forgiveness. So that's what forgiveness of sins is all about. Being forgiven by King Jesus because of his death. You know, the call is not just to repent. It's not just come and bow the knee to King Jesus, but come and bow the knee to King Jesus and receive his pardon. Yeah. The message is, despite our rebellion and hostility and antagonism towards God, come and be forgiven by him. Come back into right relationship with God. That's what Caroline spoke about, what happened to her when she was at university. And this message of repentance and forgiveness of sins is what the Bible calls the gospel. This is God's message to the world, and we're to tell it. It's the message of the church. Now, here's the thing. What happens when somebody responds to Jesus in repentance? What happens when someone responds to this message? And turn on to the book of Acts. It's Luke's second book. Acts chapter 2, so turn on through John and then Acts. As people hear this call to repent for the forgiveness of their sins, what happens? Let me read from Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter, who's speaking to this crowd, says this, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." So as people submit to King Jesus and receive his pardon, they receive the gift of the Spirit. And get this, it's God's Spirit in his people who is powerful to work to change them. Okay? Caroline spoke of that change, a desire to live to please the Lord Jesus. And actually, just flick down to verse 44. You see a snapshot of the Spirit's work in his people straight away. Reading from verse 44, it says this, "All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." You know, if you read through the book of Acts, you see how not just people, but families and whole communities are transformed. How? Through the preaching of the gospel. Because as the gospel is preached, people respond, they receive the gift of the Spirit, and the Spirit begins a work to change them. This is everywhere in the New Testament. For example, don't turn to this. In John 3, Jesus used the language of born again to describe what happens to somebody when they become a Christian. And it's a powerful, dynamic language that highlights that when you become a Christian, God's Spirit gives you a new life. You live. There's change. Well, the book of Titus in the New Testament is all about how the knowledge of the truth leads to godliness. Okay, a new life that's pleasing to God. Now, the incredible thing is that in many ways we're focusing on a sort of a minor thing here, because the focus of the New Testament teaching of this new life that the Spirit brings is its eternal life. You know, this new life that God gives takes people through death into resurrection life, into a remade world where they live with King Jesus. Right? In other words, the effect of preaching the gospel is bigger than social change. It includes social change. It changes families, people, communities. But it's bigger than that because this life goes through death. And more than that, the consequences of not preaching the gospel are serious. Because people who don't have new life that the Spirit brings will face a harrowing eternity receiving punishment from God for their rebellion against him. There's a lot to be said here about the need to preach the gospel. But the thing that I just want us to focus on this morning, and we need to kind of get back to this, is that the dynamic to change people, how do people change? It's through the preaching of the gospel. If you want to see lasting change in yourself or this city, preach the gospel. Talk about repentance and forgiveness of sins. Okay, let me summarize where we're at, or what's been said this morning. Now, get this. So we've got two things we're thinking about. One is social change. It's something that Bradford seems to be crying out for. The other thing is this preaching the gospel. Okay, how do they relate to one another? What do you do with them? Now, one option, there's four options of what you can do. Okay, one option is as a church, let's just promote social change. Let's be social activists. Let's just go for change, but no gospel. Another option is to be a church that somehow says we're just going to promote the gospel and we're not going to bother with social change. Now, it's a bit of a caricature, but these two groups are often sort of at war with each other. So this group, the social change people, will say to this group, the preaching the gospel people, you're useless. You're no good to anybody. You know, the need is homelessness, addiction, poverty, all of that. You're not meeting the need. This group will say to this group, you're not seeing the wood for the trees. There's a phrase, it's like putting chairs out on a Titanic, they would say. People's biggest need is eternity. And so this whole social change stuff is a waste of time. The bigger need is eternity. Can you see that? The two sort of options here. Now, a third group comes in and they say, okay, and maybe just to keep the peace, they say, let's have both. That let's have social change and let's have preaching the gospel. 50-50. So you might think of it like they're the two wings of a bird or the two blades of a pair of scissors in that sort of language. Let's do both. Let's spend some time trying to do social change, some time trying to do preaching the gospel. Now, the thing is, all of those three options are deficient. And they're deficient because they make the wrong assumption that the gospel doesn't produce change. Separating them out. And the fourth view, the biblical view, and that's what we're looking at this morning, is it's the preaching of the gospel that produces social change. It produces change in people. But one more thing. Look back in Luke chapter 6. Turn with me. Jesus uses the image of a tree to help us see how people work. So if you want to know how you work, have a look at Luke chapter 6, just to rub this in. So reading from verse 43, Jesus likens people to trees and he says this, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." Now, what Jesus is saying is, he's saying that people are a bit like trees, okay? And you know a tree by its fruit. So a good tree, a good person produces good behaviour. A bad tree, a bad person produces bad behaviour. Now, what makes a tree good or bad? Look at verse 45. It's the heart. In other words, the condition of somebody's heart, not your physical heart, but your who you are, you know, the inner you, determines the nature of the person. Now, the Bible teaches that everybody is born with a defective heart, a bad heart, if you like. And the only way to get a new heart is through the preaching of the gospel. Okay? Because it's through the preaching of the gospel that when people respond to that, they receive the gift of the Spirit, and the Spirit gives them a new heart that then produces good fruit, social change. You see the dynamic there? The gospel regenerates people, regenerates trees, turning them from bad trees to good trees that produce good fruit. And so look, as we turn to the two questions that we began with, how is lasting social change going to happen in Bradford? By preaching the gospel, preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins. And why does Jesus express the mission of the church in terms of preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins and not in terms of social change? Because only the gospel changes people's hearts and brings lasting change. The conclusion then is that Trinity Church, as its fourth distinctive feature, is totally sold out in the mission of preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations in Bradford. It's not that we don't want social change, but that we understand what Jesus is saying here, that social change comes about through the preaching of the gospel. So that's what we're about. Now, as we finish, let me just mention some of the practicalities of this. In many ways, we're still working these things through, being new. But let me mention the short-term, medium, long-term in terms of what this is going to look like. In the short term, we want to get on with this work of preaching the gospel in Bradford. You know, we're not really waiting for anything. If you look at where we are in history, today is the day. You know, Jesus has died, risen. We're at the point in history where we speak. Right? So we're not waiting for anything. And so, for example, we want these Sunday meetings to be welcoming so we can bring our friends to hear the gospel. We want to be encouraging one another to make the most of the opportunities we have with our families and at work and at university to share the gospel with others. Our students, as I can talk to you, that university is a great time to be joining clubs, if you've not done so already. And just beware, don't get engulfed by the Christian sort of huddle. It's really important that you have good Christian friends, so you want to invest in one another. But also, university is a great time to get to know other people, other students who, like Caroline, who weren't clear on what the gospel is. And also, with that, students, I want to say, get stuck into the CU. God's given you a great committee. You've got Pete sort of heading it up. You've got Mike, the new relay worker. And they're all trying to work to mobilise and organise you so you can be effective in this mission of preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins. All right, so they're meeting next Thursday. Go to that. And we're really supportive of the CU here. We think it's important. Also, you can be reading books like Know and Tell the Gospel now. You don't have to wait. You can buy it today. We can be praying now that God will use us in this work. Also, this term, we've planned two events. One is a quiz night in November, one's Cows by Candlelight in the ballroom downstairs. It's going to be a great evening. And you can be thinking and praying now who you could bring. But guess what? Both of these events, what's going to feature? The preaching of the gospel. Right? In January, we're going to be running a Christianity Explore course, which gives people the opportunity to spend some time hearing the gospel and asking their questions. Because in many ways, it's full steam ahead here at Trinity. We're not waiting. But in the medium term, we do recognise that we want to become better equipped to share the gospel. Do you want to be better equipped? It's difficult. And we're involved in running an in-house training course called Equipped to Serve that runs over a period of 30 weeks and will help with that. So that's something that we can get involved in. We also plan to run some specific training days in the next couple of years. So that's sort of a medium-term thing, getting ourselves better equipped. Now, in the long term, we are conscious that Bradford needs many, many more churches. Not just churches for church's sake, but churches who are about this mission of preaching the gospel. Do you know what the population is in Bradford? 500,000, 500,000 people. And just supposing, if only 10% of those were reached, we would need about 250 churches. And there's nothing like that at the moment. And so we pray that God will grow us. And you know, if you're thinking about a church, we would love you, because you know, we're small. We, in many ways, we need you to join us in this work and pray that God will grow us over the next few years and enable us to plant other churches. Churches that will be working hard at this mission to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins so that God's church is built.